Welcome to episode 7 of Agriculture. I'm here talking today with Joel Holland. He's the CEO of Harvest Hosts. And we are going to be talking about what that's all about and why you should be doing it, like now. So I just want to kind of preface this with, you know, COVID has kind of changed everything for us and how we travel and how we operate day to day. Especially with traveling to other towns, you know, getting out of our own hometowns and seeing something different. So this is kind of an opportunity for us to get out of town, go support small businesses that have been really hurting from this pandemic. And just find a way to build up support again for them. And Harvest Hosts is it's an annual membership that connects domestic travelers to over 2,000 locations and destinations across the U.S. And what do you want everyone to know about Harvest Hosts? Just a little snapshot of what you guys are about.
Sure. Well, I think you hit the highlights. We're a membership for RVers. So if you own an RV, you can join our program very inexpensively. It's about $99 a year. And like Jessica said, that gets you unlimited access to some really unique RV camping experiences. So 2,000 wineries, breweries, farms, you know, a lot of agritourism farms, golf courses, museums, and things like that all over North America. So as an RVer, it's just a wonderful experience. It's kind of, it's a no-brainer. It's just new, exciting experiences to throw into your mix. But for hosts, we really like to say, you know, our host network of these 2,000 small businesses, it's a great program. If you have a small business and you have room for RVers to visit you, it doesn't cost anything. We never charge a dime to our hosts. And our members this year will spend over $40 million with the hosts that they visit. And so that translates to about $13,000 in additional revenue per farm or winery. And that's, you know, it's like Jessica was saying, it, especially during COVID times, like this is a meaningful amount of money. But it's also a really fun experience. And when we ask our hosts, you know, why are you a part of Harvest Hosts? The first response is that they enjoy meeting our members and sharing their lifestyle. And I think that's really touching and telling. And then the second answer is the additional revenue is obviously great for business. So that's what I like to tell everyone is if you're an RVer, it's obviously a great program, but if you're a host, it's also a great program. Everyone that works with us does better, right? Because of it, that's our goal.
Yes. And, it's for me, I'm very agriculture oriented. So for me, it's an amazing educational opportunity. Like you said, when the hosts get to connect with, the RVers. So if they have a winery or distillery or a small farm, it's just an opportunity for people that aren't privy to agriculture and how that all works for them to learn more about how it all operates and why farmers, ranchers, why they do what they do and how they do it. So I love that part. But what are some of like the specific member benefits? I mean, besides the obvious, maybe.
Yeah. So I think the biggest benefit, it comes down to these unique experiences that you get when you visit our host locations. And, you know, any RVer knows, like there's a lot of different places to stay. You can stay in a state park, a national park, a traditional campground, and they're all great. But when you go visit a farm, an operating farm, and I'll use an alpaca farm as an example. The first time I visited an alpaca farm, it was in Kansas, and it was run by three nuns in their 80s. And they first of all introduced me to the first, you know, alpacas I'd ever met. Turns out they're really sweet animals and really goofy looking, and they're just adorable. One of the nuns makes alpaca scarves, one makes soaps, and one gives massages. And so I was able to sample all of that. It was wonderful. And so I pull into this beautiful farm. I park my RV on a hill looking out over a wonderful sunset, and I get to go have all this incredible experience. And since that, and this has now been like 3 years, I talk about that story all the time. And it was just a great experience. But every one of my Harvest Host stays is a great experience, right? Like last year I went to the Golden Spike Tower, which is the largest train yard in the United States, and it has an observation tower where you can watch hundreds of thousands of cars couple and decouple before they take back off over, you know, around the country. Or the Stratica Underground Salt Museum. You know, I visited, that's one of our museums, and it's an active salt mine, and you take an elevator 400 feet into the ground and actually see how salt is mined. And I had no idea, right? I eat it all the time. I had no idea where it came from, right? And so to see them blasting it out of the walls, collecting it, processing it, really cool educational experience. And so it's like you were saying, I think as a member, the benefit is you come away with these really cool experiences, but you learn a lot. Like you learn how farmers operate. You learn things like alpacas exist and their scarves are really soft.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think unique is the word to describe, especially the alpaca experience. I mean, that combination of the nuns and their age and the alpacas. Yeah. There's not a unique isn't a good word.
Yeah. It's not powerful enough. I mean, it's just, it's next level, right? Like, so I think that's why our members love the program. You just get to collect all these wonderful real world experiences and see how other businesses operate and how people live in different parts of the country.
Yes. And I was actually scrolling through your photos. I think it's, they're photos that RVers have submitted to you guys, but it was a comment in our RVer made that, she loved waking up. They must've camped out in a pasture, cattle pasture. She loved waking up to cows just standing outside her door.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if you're not used to that, it's kind of amazing. And so just to do a little shift here, if I'm traveling with other people, just from a consumer, they might have this question. If I'm traveling with other people or maybe a large group, does everyone need to be a member of Harvest Hosts? Or how does that work? Just kind of some technical aspects.
Yeah, so it's typically one membership per RV. So if you're a family, one membership is totally fine, covers your RV. You know what, it's like going into a national park where you buy a car pass. So it's one membership per rig. And so we travel with friends quite often, actually. It's a really fun way to go to, especially to a wineries, right? Have like two or three of your closest friends come with you in their own rigs. They all have their own memberships. We call ahead and we say, hey, we're traveling with three of us. Do you have room for all three of us to park, you know, on Friday night, as an example? And typically the answer is yes, come on in.
Right. And so how far ahead should people be calling? Is it like I've decided to come today, or do you want to give them like a week, or how much time do they typically need?
It's a great question. So at a minimum, you have to call ahead. I mean, that's the key, is make sure you either call ahead. Sometimes it's email, sometimes it's our online booking system, but don't just show up. But as long as you do it ahead of time, and you get permission, you're good to go. As far as like how far you need to do it ahead of time, depends on the season, right? If you're traveling right now, it's pretty quiet out there, you can call the same day. If it's the middle of spring and you're trying to go to a really popular destination, chances are it might be booked. So I usually call 3 to 5 days in advance. So not that far in advance. But that's the beautiful thing about our program, is it lets you be spontaneous. And I think that's why a lot of us RV, is we love the spontaneity of being able to make last minute decisions and not plan everything out in advance. So our program does let you be pretty spontaneous. Just, you know, make sure you have backup plans. Like I've been out on trips where I'm like, hey, wow, there's five hosts around me. I'll just start calling them, see who's got openings. And I've never in all the years I've done this had a problem finding a place to stay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a huge list, so I would, you know, lots of options. So is there specifics on vehicles allowed? Are there, can we touch on that a little bit?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. So the main requirement for being a member in our program is that you have a self-contained RV. And what that means is you have a bathroom on board, you have, you know, cooking, water, and, you know, the ability to keep everything that you bring in with you inside your rig and take everything with you when you leave. And the reason that self-contained part is so important is that you'll typically pull up, you know, to a winery, they'll be open, you'll go in, do a tasting, all that good stuff, but they're eventually going to close and you're going to stay the night, right? So our program is you get to stay for 24 hours. So for most of your stay, you're the only one on the property and the business is closed and there are no facilities. So it's very important that you have your own facilities in your rig.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so that 24 hours is how long you can stay? That was going to be another question for mine.
It is. Yep. Yep. It's 24 hour stay. It's pretty much always boondocking. So, you know, don't expect hookups, you know, no electricity, no power, no water, no sewer. But that's part of the fun is that when you pull up, you get parked in really like beautiful locations. Like we have a couple of lavender farms where you actually pull into the middle of a lavender field. Of course, there's not going to be hookups, but that's part of the experience is you wake up and you're in a lavender field. It's amazing.
Right. It's like pitching a tent. You don't bring your shower and your, you know, even though you do in your RV, but.
Actually, that's a good point. So it's like pitching a tent, but it's a hard shell tent and you do have a shower.
Yeah. Yes. And you're not going to get rained on and no bears can get in.
Exactly.
Yeah. At least hopefully not. So, it's probably a bit of a seasonal thing for most hosts. I'm guessing they're not open year round.
It depends. Yeah. It depends on where they're located. A lot of our hosts are year round, but not a lot of them that are up north, right? Like when it gets really cold and wintry, they shut down. A lot of our southern hosts stay open more year round. And so this is, as a member, you can, you know, as you search the website or the app, each host profile will tell you whether they're seasonal closures, hours of operation, and all that good stuff.
Okay. So here's a big question, since everyone doesn't have kids anymore and we just have dogs, are pets allowed? I bet it's, you know, a case by case basis. Depends on where you're going, probably.
Yes, but I'm excited to say that over 90% of our hosts allow pets. And so we know that, in fact, we surveyed our members and over 70% of our members travel with pets. So most RVers travel with pets. And so we've actually tried to make sure almost every location is pet friendly. The only ones that don't allow pets, as you can imagine, are some of the working farms that have some livestock or animals that wouldn't deal well with domestic pets.
Right.
But you can search. So if you remember, you can actually search on our website or on our app. There's a little toggle that says only show me pet friendly locations. So we've solved for that.
Okay. And so what kind of other filters? That's basically like a filter then when you're searching for where you want to go. Yep. Can you tell me what other kind of filters there might be that people might need to know about?
Yes. So you can filter by locations. So if you just do a search, you can search by route, you can search by what's around you. You can literally drag the map and just see what pops up. If you don't put any filters on, you'll see everything. You can filter based on the size of your unit. So you can say, I have a 45-foot, you know, unit. Some locations might be too small for that. So then those will disappear. You could also say, I only want to see wineries. Right now we have 590 wineries. Or I only want to see farms, 536 farms. I only want to see museums and attractions, 352 of those. Only want to see golf courses, 389. Or breweries and distilleries. And we have 264 of those. So you can filter by types, by size of your unit, pet friendly, yes or no. And you can put all those basically filters together and then boom, it'll show you an output.
Nice and quick and easy. So I was telling a friend about this and she likes to travel and she's like a little gypsy, but she likes to travel and go and work in all kinds of places because she wants to know everything and everything about everything. So she was like, well, if you go to a place, are you able to help out or volunteer or, you know, like get your hands dirty, so to speak?
Yes. And the answer is yes. I mean, what's kind of cool, you get to pick your own adventure for the most part. So when you get to a host location, the first thing you typically do is go check in with the host. So maybe you'll go inside the winery and say, hey, I'm Jessica. I'm a Harvest Host member. Here's my membership number, my card. I'm going to be staying with you tonight. Where would you like me to park? So they'll say, all right, pull around back. There's a couple of nice spots to choose from. And then you'll usually go in and do a tasting and the business is going to close eventually. That's when the fun starts, because the business closes. You can either go back to your rig and like have a nice relaxing evening by yourself with your, you know, spouse, your puppy. Or you usually have an opportunity to hang out with the owners a bit and see how they actually operate. And so they might say, hey, we're about to go till the field. Would you like to join? Or we're about to go crush some grapes. Would you like to join? So I've had some pretty cool experiences, you know, in the back where I'm learning how wine is made, how it's pulled out of the barrels, how it's bottled. Like, you know, got to put stickers on bottles. So you can really kind of get in the weeds if you want, but it's not required. I mean, that's the big thing. It's like, if you're on vacation and you just want to go have a tasting, go chill at the rig, like no worries. If you want to pick an adventure, I'm sure the owners would be happy to help, happy to use your help.
Right. Right. Teaching moment. So, when people go to park, what are the areas generally like, or is it just a lot of variation? It really depends. Cause I mean, when you think of like RVing, you park your RV, it's usually in a parking lot and this and that, but what this is obviously very different. So are where people are parking, is it usually in, you know, more remote areas? What's it like generally?
Yeah. To generalize, I would say it's beautiful, wide open spaces. And that's the beauty of it is, you know, in campgrounds and other places, you can be pretty tight. Like you're 5 feet away from your neighbor, which is fine. Like there's utility there, right? Like you've got all your hookups, like you're probably staying inside. No worries. But when you pull into a farm, I mean, that what you like about it is it's wide open. It's vast. And that's typically what you're going to experience when you camp. You're going to get to choose a big open spot. You're not going to have anybody around you, and it's going to be very peaceful.
Yes. And one thing that I also learned is that if you don't have an RV, you can rent one. So rent an RV, sign up for Harvest Hosts, and head down the road. One last question that I had personally is, how do the hosts ultimately benefit from signing up and hosting RVers?
Yes. So, and that's an important, you know, it's important. So for us, for our membership program to work, our hosts have to be extremely happy, right? Because without the hosts, we literally have nothing. And so we as a team always remember that, like the hosts are our most significant stakeholder. They benefit from our members' generosity, really. I mean, that's what it comes down to is our members visit. We say, you know, at a minimum, spend $20 a night, you know, sampling the goods. But on average, our members actually spend $50 a night. So our members spend about $50 per night. It works out to about $13,000 on average that a host can, you know, expect to receive a year. Some make much more. Some make $50,000, $60,000. Some make less depending on where you are. But in total this year, our members will spend over $40 million directly with the hosts, buying their produce, buying their wine, you know, buying the museum entrance to go see how salt's made. And we don't take any of that. There's never any fee from us to the hosts. We don't charge hosts a dime. So we want hosts to be a part of our program as long as it benefits them and makes them happy.
Sure. And I'm sure there's a lot of people maybe listening that want to become a host possibly. So what's the process like for them? Is there like, how do you vet them basically?
Yeah. So the easiest thing, go to harvesthost.com, and on the top bar, you'll see a link for hosts. Give that a click. It'll take you to a very simple, well, it'll take you to an overview of the program. So you can learn more about what it's like to be a host. So there's some testimonials from some of our farms and wineries and breweries. There's a description of how it works. I mean, it's very simple. And then there's an application form. So you can actually fill out a short form, describe your business, you know, hours of operation, where you are, what kind of products you sell. And our members then have the opportunity to, you know, see your listing as soon as it's live. And so our team, when they're reviewing the applications, they want to make sure it's an operating business, that it has a scenic, you know, it's somewhat scenic. So they'll actually pull up Google Earth and take a look at your location to make sure it looks like a nice place to stay. They'll look for, you know, any existing Yelp reviews or Facebook reviews just to make sure like people have a good experience there. And then more often than not, we'll approve you. And immediately you're added to the website, to the app. And we notify all of our members once a month of all the new locations. So when you join the program, you can expect to be in within a number of days and like within also a number of hours, probably have people start calling you to come visit.
Yeah, cool. That's exciting. I think a couple of locations close by us would be Red Trail Vineyard in Buffalo, North Dakota, and then the Naked Winery in Hill City, South Dakota. It would be great if I could maybe get a list and I could attach that along with the podcast on YouTube. But, yeah, Joel, is there anything else you want to talk about or touch on about Harvest Hosts that you want everyone to know?
Well, I just pulled up Naked Winery because it's really cool looking spot. And it's
it is, yeah.
You like park right on the right on a little like creek, which looks so peaceful.
Yeah.
I love that. But no, I think you hit it. I mean, this is a really fun program for everybody involved. That's why I love this business. It's just kind of positive all the way around. So I encourage you to check us out. And we're always looking for new hosts. We're always looking for new members. And I'd love to see you on the road.
Yeah, it's a fun program, pandemic or no pandemic. It just so happens that, you know, pandemic is still going on. And this is kind of a perfect option for people to get out of their houses and, yeah, it's just... get out of quarantine, man.
That's right. That's right. Get out and stretch your legs a bit.
See some people. See some land.
Meet some alpacas.
Yeah. Meet some alpacas and some nuns. I mean, did they set your life straight? Did they have any advice for you, or they're just
wonderful people? Yeah, they're wonderful. If you ever have a chance, Heartland Farm in Kansas, really cool spot.
Heartland Farm in Kansas. I am very curious how three nuns got together and decided to farm alpacas.
I bet that's
the story. Yeah, oh man. Well, yes, this is episode 7 of Agriculture. I want to thank you, Joel and Alex, for reaching out to us at the American Ag Network here. Next week I'll be talking to Luke Schubert. He's an auctioneer, and we will be talking about issues within that industry and, of course, agriculture as well. They're never ending. But thanks again, Joel, and we will talk to you all soon. Have a great Easter. This is the American Ag Network, and I'm Jessica Benson.
Thanks, Jessica.